Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com, a service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com station. WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in the North Aurora Auto Mall.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I get to know a lot more about my opponent, a lot more preparing going into it. So it's been fun just learning how Coach Nag's game plan throughout the week and just preparing with the rest of the quarterbacks and really just getting used to our schedule and how we're going to be organized throughout the week.
Middays on The Score.
And if you remember, it was none other than Matt Miller who identified Matt Nagy as the guy the Bears should hire because of his work in Kansas City, and saying that perhaps it would be a year too early, but it's better to have him a year too early than not have him at all. And Matt Miller of Bleacher Report and at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter joins us now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. So, Matt, let me ask you this question. Do you still think it's potentially a year too early, or has Matt Nagy shown enough poise, awareness, control to look like he's more ready to be an NFL head coach than maybe people thought?
Yeah, I think he is more ready, guys, and thanks for having me back. I think one of the big things with Matt coming out of Kansas City was, you know, even last year there were so many questions about who's calling the offense, and we heard stories about, you know, Nagy calling it early in the year, then no, Andy takes it back, and there was a disaster in the playoff game where the Chiefs were doing well, and then they just they went away from what was working and stopped running the ball. And so you really, I think my biggest questions were not about his IQ or his leadership skills or his upside as a coach. It was more about game management. How much experience does he have, and is he going to be able to break free of that Andy Reid shadow? But, you know, we saw Doug Peterson do it coming out of a very similar role. And I think you have to be encouraged by what we've seen so far in some limited action, but then also, like, just, you know, hearing guys, you know, who are there on the local beat talking to him and, you know, talking to players and assistant coaches. Like, it really seems like everyone's in a really good spot right now.
Matt, I'm really glad. I woke up this morning and I thought, well, I'm really glad it's Thursday because Matt's going to be on. And I've got like, I need help. I've got like this residue of John Fox on me still. It's like, it's almost like a Stockholm syndrome sort of thing. I watched that last preseason game from the Bears and thought, wow, I couldn't believe how much they're actually showing us of the offense with jet sweep action and fake end arounds and all this stuff, all the movement, all the motion, all the wideouts. And then I thought to myself, they can't actually be putting a lot on film because nobody ever does. They always hold stuff back. And yet there was so much there. How much of this is just me looking at a John Fox offense last year that was so, so, so old and now seeing an offense that's new? How much did we actually see schematically from Matt Nagy in the last one?
Yeah, I think a decent amount. And one of the cool things about guys like Matt Nagy or Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, a lot of these young offensive-minded head coaches, they're not afraid to put stuff out there on tape because they're changing it every week. And, you know, all the love stories that got put out there last year about how smart Sean McVay is. And he's really, really smart. But it was so much about, oh, he watched the Chiefs do this week one and incorporated it. Or he watched Oregon do this and incorporated it. And I think that's one of the cool things about not only Matt, but also bringing in Mark Helfrich and all these, you know, smart minds, whether they're coming from the pro game or the college game, where they can say, you know what? Yeah, you're going to see jet action from us. Guess what? Every young offensive head coach in the NFL is using jet action now. And we're not afraid to show you some of our RPO package because everyone's doing it. And so I think John Fox came from this old school mentality, obviously, where it was like, no, you don't show anything. And now you have these guys who are like, I don't care because I'm kind of running the same thing that Doug Peterson is and kind of the same thing that Andy Reid is. And Sean McVay has a lot of those same elements and Kyle Shanahan has them. So who cares? Like, we're all running the same stuff. We're just going to run it better than you. And I think that's what you love about this kind of new wave of football.
You mentioned Kyle Shanahan, and his name came up when we were talking before about some of these guys who are just believed to be, by their peers, a step ahead. And I noticed somebody on Twitter, and I apologize for not remembering who exactly, said that the football people that he talks to talk about Kyle Shanahan like musicians talk about Prince, where there is just a sense of this guy is ahead of it, this guy is really special at what he does, and now that he's got Jimmy Garoppolo, watch out. Do you hear the same things, and do you see from Shanahan, and I know you've seen plenty of Niners football, do you see the kind of things that make you say, ooh, that's really cool?
Well, I mean, I don't think we saw it last year where you're like, oh my God, this is like watching a young Bill Walsh or anything, but I think it's more of the progress over the course of the season. And so much of it was, okay, you got to get a guy in there, a quarterback who can get the job done. And no disrespect to CJ Beathard, but he wasn't getting the job done, right? So you got to get in a guy like a Garoppolo who understands the offense, has the accuracy, can make things happen. So I think that we're going to see it now. You can watch the last five games of the Niners season last year and see some of the wrinkles where you're like, man, this, and it's not even that the plays, design is that sexy or unique. It's just that the play calling is so smart and efficient, and one thing leads to another. And even back when Kyle was, you know, in Atlanta, or maybe even when he was with the Browns and Redskins, I used to hear all the time of there's no one in the NFL who can scheme a better game than Kyle Shanahan. And that's in terms of, okay, we're going to run this play early because we want to run this one later. And we're going to run these three plays. They might not even get us yardage, but we want to see how the defense reacts so that I can take that and run something later. And I think we saw that the year Atlanta made that great run to the Super Bowl, that he was just a step or two ahead of everyone else when it came to play calling. So I think, like, with Sean McVay, you're going to get more of the creative wrinkles where you see a play happen on the field and you're like, man, I don't know if I've ever seen that before with that formation and that type of movement pre-snap. With Kyle, you're going to get more of the, like, it's such a cliche, but like, this dude's just out there playing chess, and he's so set up for what's going to happen.
So, Matt, just so we've got kind of a stepping stone before we get into the college football season, how do you view at this point the college football, the quarterback class that's going to come out here, you know, going into their last season, theoretically, in college? Because Trace McSorley is, you know, he's without Saquon Barkley now and not exactly a prototypical or archetypical NFL quarterback. The same could maybe be said of Khalil Tate, depending on how much he grows. You know, Justin Herbert at Oregon is at Oregon. Where do you see this class in general?
I love that he's at Oregon. So,
Oregon.
It's not a great class on the outside looking in. Last year at this time, if we had taught guys, I would have said, man, there might be four guys who we feel like are going to be first round picks. And there were three that we knew were going to be top 10 with Rosen, Allen, and Darnold. And obviously Baker had the great rise and Lamar Jackson ended up being a first rounder. This year, I think we're looking at guys, it's like, gosh, I hope they can become something. And Justin Herbert at Oregon is one of them. I mean, he looks the part. He's got a good arm, good movement. He's an athlete, but he is coming out of Oregon. And I'll tell you already, I've heard people say, the kid's kind of soft. You know, he struggled with pressure as a freshman. You know, he was like crying in the huddle. And this is coming from people at the school, not just like fans on Twitter. So that's something you have to worry about. And then you go look at Jarrett Stidham, Auburn, really tough guy, but he got hurt last year. Someone pretty close to you guys, Nate Stanley at Iowa, is definitely on radars. Shea Patterson at Michigan, Clayton Thorson.
There it is. I was just going to ask about Clayton Thorson, and I didn't have to.
Yeah, no, Clayton Thorson's a really good player. I mean, there was talk he might come out last year. I think you just want to see, is this a guy who's just, you know, kind of like AJ McCarron was in college, where it's like, man, he does everything well within that system, but he's almost robotic. So is he able to, you know, make things happen on the move, or is he just so well coached and he has a high football IQ so he can execute? But that doesn't really work in the NFL. You need guys who have upside and potential, and you have to be able to, you know, either have, you know, great placement, or you have to have a great arm or good athleticism. You have to have something that kind of makes you special. And I think with Clayton Thorson, we're still kind of waiting to see what that special thing is.
So you didn't mention Will Grier.
I would have if you'd let me keep
going. Okay, fair. No, I will. That's the
25
thing.
Names if you guys want. Will Grier is a very interesting prospect, and I got bit in the rear last year just like everyone else did. And this was a true statement a year ago. If you'd said, hey, guys, what do you think about Baker Mayfield? I would have said, he's an exciting playmaker. He's short. He's had some off-field stuff, and the NFL thinks he's a day three pick.
Yep.
And guess what we're going to say about Will Greer?
Yep.
He's a little small. He's had some off-field stuff. NFL teams think he's a day three pick. Doesn't mean that next April he's not in the running to be the first pick overall, because so much of the way we look at quarterbacks is changing every year. And Greer is probably an inch and a half taller than Baker. I mean, I've stood next to both of them. They're built very similarly. The numbers are fantastic. I think the issues, the reason why he got kicked out of Florida, have to get cleaned up. You know, it was a PED issue. So it's not like he had a Joe Mixon situation. I mean, he got kicked out for PEDs. And so that's going to get questioned a lot by scouts. But Will Greer is probably if I could only watch one quarterback today who's eligible for next year's draft, it would be Will Greer, because he's just fun to watch. And there's going to be knocks about Big 12 defenses and the scheme. All those knocks existed for Baker Mayfield, and he went first overall. So I think Greer is definitely an exciting guy, and somebody that, you know, 5 years ago we would have dismissed because of size and scheme. Now you have to really turn over every rock with him.
We are talking with Matt Miller, and this conversation is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want complete flexibility with your ticket plan? The Chicago Wolves Flex Pack provides 10 undated vouchers at a discount. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for information. We're reading an article a while back. I'd love to get your thoughts on it, because it's the rise of 7-on-7 football at the high school level. And we were looking in Texas and Louisiana, and in the hotbeds of football talent, more and more skill position players are opting for this soft helmet 7-on-7 AAU style. And the actual old guard conventional football guys are grumbling about it. There's all sorts of dog whistle code words about the culture. Now, we don't want this to be like basketball. And people are hearing some things that sound like it's not just about football. Have you noticed any effect on what's going on in colleges, or what is being anticipated in the rise of 7-on-7 as guys figure they might as well protect their heads as long as they can?
I think I've definitely heard about it. And I think it's something that all of us who make a living talking about football are aware of, right? And you definitely hear it from coaches that, and maybe it is code word, but you hear coaches say things like, you know, guys are softer than they used to be. And I think it's unfortunate, because when you have like the situation at Maryland where a kid dies because he's been forced to run these ridiculous sprints that really have no correlation to football. It's just like a test of toughness. And so I think that everyone's kind of aware of a lot of different things right now. You know, you want to protect the head, but also we got to get smarter about conditioning. Got to get smarter about monitoring players. And everyone made fun of Chip Kelly, but a lot of the things that he was doing at Oregon were really good for what college football is, because it's kind of wild, wild west. But I've never heard anyone in the scouting industry or coaching industry say, you know, guys wanting to just play 7-on-7 is going to ruin the game of football. I think the hope is that the quarterback position, we put so much more on these guys than we ever have before. And there's a limited amount of time in college and a limited amount of time in high school to develop them. So the hope is that 7-on-7 can give them a little bit of a boost, because we're not seeing guys who understand passing concepts quite like they, at the rate that they used to. Obviously the game is a lot more nuanced now and advanced, so there's more to learn, but I think it's looked at as a positive that maybe it helps that way. And if it saves you a couple concussions and guys aren't as beat up going into college or the NFL, I think that would be a pretty positive thing.
In the same vein then, Matt, how do recruiters, whether it's recruiters or scouts, I guess, at the collegiate level or into the pro level, how are they viewing offensive line play at this point? You know, we're changing now how we're playing the game slowly but surely, and, you know, practice times, at least at the professional level, are restricted, and therefore you hear that offensive line play is generally bad. Any truth to that?
Yeah, there is truth to that. And it's a reason why your new offensive line coach, Harry Highstead, who came from Notre Dame, guys from Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Michigan, more of your quote-unquote pro-style schools, that's where NFL front offices are trending toward. Notre Dame, with Mike McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson, are both top 10 picks. They're running pro-style offenses. And it used to be that you would draft Cedric Oboihe out of Texas A&M and Luke Jokel out of Texas A&M and say, these guys are great athletes. They can protect the edge. They can cut off a pass rusher. We can teach them everything else we need to know. Well, that didn't work. Neither of those guys panned out. And there's a list of other guys that didn't pan out. So now we've seen a reversal of that. I'm going to go to Michigan State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Wisconsin, these big boy schools. and find guys who are taught to play in a three-point stance, find guys who are taught to truly pass protect, not play in a spread offense where it's, okay, all I got to do is kick out super wide to take away the outside rush, and my quarterback's going to do the rest. Like, that's where the trend is going. So for offensive line play, and on the flip side, defensive line play, the NFL is correcting to find guys who are more ready to play right now. And you might miss on upside, but a lot of these upside guys never panned out. So instead, it's Mike McGlinchey and Jack Conklin might never be great left tackles, but they're going to be really good right tackles for 10 years. And for the Niners and the Titans, that was good enough to spend top 10 picks on. So I think that's the way that that's going.
Are you looking at any rookies now? Again, and I like to ask this question as training camps go on and we get to learn more about what's happening and you grade yourself as a scout. I keep thinking that 10 years from now, are people going to wonder why Saquon Barkley wasn't the number one overall pick? And just say, did we overthink this, or what were we doing when this rare size speed ability combination was right in front of our face the whole time?
Man, we were thinking that an hour into the draft on Thursday night. It was like, and I remember like sitting there on the desk and we're like, why didn't the Browns just take Saquon? They could have taken Baker at four because it would have gone. And I can verify this. This isn't me spitballing. It would have gone Barkley 1, Darnold 2, Rosen 3, Baker 4. Wow. And that's guaranteed. That is not me just pulling stuff out of my butt. Like, I've talked to those teams. That's how it would have gone. So they could have had Saquon Barkley and Baker Mayfield, and then you could have got a corner. I mean, they picked again at 33. You could have got a corner there. So that talk has already started, guys. It started the minute they took Denzel Ward at four. Everyone was like, why did you do this when you could have had the best player in the draft and still the guy they felt was the best quarterback in Baker Mayfield? So, I think if that talk isn't already prevalent around the league, it will just kick back up again because Saquon's a freak. And for the Browns, you know, they drafted a running back at 35, so obviously they felt like that was a need. And you guys know I'm a John Dorsey fan. It feels like they outthought themselves a little bit with this one.
So our college football schedule gets started in 2 days, and then we've got a bunch of big power schools playing against a bunch of mid-major schools, for lack of a better term. Other than Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle at Houston, outside of, you know, kind of that Power 5 conferences, who's the best player outside those Power 5 conferences that you'll be looking at scouting all season long and into the draft?
Oh, man, you know, Easton Stick at North Dakota State is someone I'm really excited, and I think I'll get to see him live. If you guys can remember back when Carson Wentz got hurt his senior year, this freshman quarterback came in, and North Dakota State just kept going. They just kept winning, and eventually Wentz came back and played in the championship game, but Easton Stick was that freshman that came in, and he's been very good since then. So in a quarterback class that's a little murky right now, he's the dude that I'm most excited to jump in and break down. And whether it's a Carson Wentz or Josh Allen type deal, or maybe he's neither, he's someone that definitely has to be evaluated and checked out right now. So he would be out of the Power 5, he's probably the top guy on my list. Buffalo has a pretty good receiver in Anthony Johnson that I'm looking forward to, and a linebacker in Khalil Hodges. So the Bulls got a couple guys that have to be checked as well.
What a name.
Easton Stick.
What a name. Easton Stick. Name. That's like the S250 BB Core 31-inch, 28-ounce Easton Stick.
It's like a play call in the huddle.
I was thinking.
Say his own name as a play.
Yeah, run the stick route. That's right. Wow, but that's got to be a baseball name, though. I mean, how could you be named Easton Stick and not be a baseball
that's
player?
Awesome.
Wow. Okay. I'm just going to say his name the rest of the show. Matt, thank you, and we look forward to next week.
Yeah, you bet, fellas. Have a good one.
That is Matt Miller on football. Speaking of names, a great name, like Easton Stick.
Okay, Stick.
While we're talking about names, this weekend is Players Weekend in MLB.
Yeah,
right?
They get to wear the weird jerseys and put whatever the hell they want on the back of their jersey.
Goofy
awesome.
Uniforms with all these nicknames
and
on
socks.
Them.
And socks. We're going to get weird socks, too.
I love it. And necklaces and all that stuff. And you will see all
chains.
So we went through the Cubs nicknames and the fact that Tommy La Stella's goofy nickname is La Stella. Well,
killer.
I've got a piece here written by Sam Miller. Nickname rules, essentially metrics to determine MLB nicknames. And they taught, not only did they talk to players, they studied how this stuff happens. The etymology of baseball nicknames, how to determine what your baseball nickname would or should be.
Perfect.
Based on history, based on the rules, which rules supersede other rules, and how you ultimately get to your baseball nickname.
My baseball nickname would be Bad Quit.
That would be
Bad, comma, Quit.
Sit down. Come here, sit down. So we'll
just call me Limited Range.
This stuff is, it makes a lot of sense. A lot of this you will nod along and intuit, oh, okay, I get it now. And then you can determine what your actual proper baseball nickname would or should be. That's
awesome.
Coming up next on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
Jim Hickey, the Cubs pitching coach. The starting pitching's been great.
It's been trending in the right direction for quite some time, and I don't think, not coincidentally, that that began right about when Cole Hamels arrived and gave us a little bit of a shot in the arm.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute. Jets quarterback Teddy Bridgewater made the news yesterday. And for a change, the focus was not on where the 25-year-old may be going, but rather how far he has come. Dan Cooper, the Dallas surgeon who operated on the quarterback's knee twice, described the non-contact injury his patient had sustained in a 2016 Vikings practice. It was just a horribly grotesque injury, Cooper told ESPN. It's mangled. You make the skin incision and there's nothing there. It's almost like a war wound. Everything is blown. Cooper termed it the worst knee dislocation in sports I've ever seen without having a nerve or vessel injury. According to the good doctor, the surgery was an absolute gut test, a test of what you're made of, and I've seen it break people down. The resilient Bridgewater, though, has passed that test with flying colors as he has looked great this preseason. I'm Boomer Esiason.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson at a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only Major League player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who was second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money saving coupon. Baseball fans, if you're looking for tickets to see the Northsiders play in Milwaukee September 3rd through the 5th, Harbor Shores Hotel in downtown Lake Geneva has them with their baseball getaway package. Package includes two tickets to one of the games, overnight accommodations at Harbor Shores Hotel on beautiful Geneva Lake, and round-trip transportation provided by Lakefront Shuttle to and from the game starting at $193. To reserve your spot, call 1-888-SHORES-1 or visit harborshoreslg.com. Hurry, limited packages available. That's harborshoreslg.com.
Hey, Chicago. This is Boomer Esiason, former pro football quarterback. I insist on AZAC trim for my home. AZAC is the best high-performance trim on the market. With AZAC trim, there's no chipping and no cracking. AZAC is moisture and insect resistant, incredibly durable, and handles paint too. In fact, AZAC is backed by a lifetime limited warranty. And did you know that you could use AZAC trim as a ceiling or wainscoting inside your home? An awesome look. Check out AZAC.com. Long-lasting, low-maintenance, inspired design. That's AZEK.
School's back in session, which means it's time for you to learn how much you can save at Sunrise Chevrolet. Get 20% off MSRP on a great selection of new Chevys, including Sonics, Sparks, and Impalas. Or lease a new 2018 Equinox for just $199 a month for 36 months. Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights. Or visit SunriseChevrolet.com. Sunrise Chevrolet,
the bright way to buy.
$2849 to its signing plus tax, title, license, and dot fee to qualified buyers. Must finance with GMFC dealer for details. Find new roads.
If you're planning a bathroom update, chances are a boring vanity is not high on your list. At the Home Depot, it's not on ours either. Come in now or go online for up to 40% off a beautiful vanity you'd be proud to call your own. To match your style, whatever your style, and fit your budget perfectly. Sorry, not available in boring. Select vanities up to 40% off in-store, online, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 19th, Continental U.S. only while supplies last.
Summer off to a tough start, Jack?
Oh, hey, Tubi. Must be time for a new mower.
Well, hey, I'm just a talking inner tube. But I know you'd be having a little more fun racing down water slides and roller coasters or enjoying live shows in the water park capital of the world.
Yeah. We could use a family vacation.
Come on, Jack. Just say the magic words.
Wisconsin Dell!
It's not hard to have fun when you know the magic words. Go to wisdells.com and plan your trip today.
Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com, a service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results. Thinking about running the Bank of America Chicago Marathon? Team One Step has your guaranteed entry. Our team supports Camp One Step, and we run to send kids with cancer to camp. Join Team One Step and receive a guaranteed entry, coaching, training plans, and fundraising support. Run with our team and give kids with cancer a life-changing camp experience. Join now and become a hero to a kid with cancer. To sign up or to learn more, go to teamonestep.org or call 312-924-4220.
Show transition on the score. No holds barred show interaction. Now, 3 times a day on the score between Mully and Haw and Bernstein and McKnight at 9 a.m.
I didn't know the term golden homer for something like that, but I learned a new baseball term.
The term golden homer? That's what a walk-off grand slam is, a golden homer?
While down 3 with the team down to their
last
strike.
It's only happened like one other time. How does it have a name?
Then at 1 between Bernstein and McKnight and McNeil and Parkins.
Did you guys know who David Bote was before the season?
No. Yes, but only vaguely. I mean, like...
I didn't either.
I had no idea who he was.
Most of us didn't. That was incredible stuff.
And finally, right before 6, between McNeil and Parkins and Lawrence Holmes.
You never talk about Stan Mikita without the attachment of Bobby Hall.
It was almost impossible to do it.
But you have a guy that won Hart, Ross, Bing in back-to-back seasons.
Yeah.
That's...
Only guy to do it.
That's impossible.
Show transition now 3 times a day on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. 26.2 miles of city streets, 29 vibrant and diverse neighborhoods, 1.7 million cheering spectators. You won't want to miss the Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 7th. The 2018 application is now open. Apply today at chicagomarathon.com. Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Video conferencing.
Join Coach Lovie Smith and the Fighting Illini football team at Soldier Field on Saturday, September 15th as Illinois faces South Florida at 2:30 p.m. Cheer on your team and your city. Tickets are available for as low as $30 at Ticketmaster.com. Enjoy Illinois football at Soldier Field and Co Illini.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com.
Chicago sports station.
Tongue in my boy.
This segment's brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store, your big green egg superstore that offers everything you need for barbecuing. So it's going to be Players Weekend, nicknames on jerseys, all the fun, all the flash, all the swag.
Well, not all the swag. Some have opted out of swag. Or some were called up after the deadline to submit your swag.
And they don't get to put their own
name.
You
don't get to play, sorry. So,
Sam Miller of ESPN.com notes that Mike Trout's jersey is going to say kid with like 5 eyes.
Okay. All right. 1D.
Come on, kid. Yeah. You know how it is. Stepping up there. However, when he goes back to the clubhouse, he'll be Trouty. Why Trouty? You might wonder. What would my ball player name be? There are rules. Okay. Stick with me.
I'm here. I'm in.
You in?
Yeah.
You
bring
in?
Me.
You here for this?
Bring me along.
Rule 1. If your name starts with a Mick, MC, your teammates will call you Mac.
Yep, okay, done deal.
Rule 2, if your name is Smith, you're Smitty.
Yep.
Rule 3, they will work very hard to call you something other than your name. If the Giants' longtime manager were actually named Bruce Boch, just B-O-C-H, everybody on the team would call him Bochy. As in, Bochy had a chance to make a move and score runs.
That's right.
But his name isn't Bruce Boch. His name is Bruce Bochy, so everybody calls him, naturally,
Boch.
Boch.
Yep. Yep.
So what makes a difference, what makes a ball player name preferable to your regular name is that it's not your regular name. His actual name is Bochy, but they call him Boch, right?
Anakin Skywalker.
Rule four. Your teammates know these rules without needing to be taught, without even knowing exactly what they know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
A new giant joins the team. He doesn't call the manager BB or Brucey or Bocher. He just knows, as a bird knows how to build a nest, how the pieces of the name are used to build a new name. It's complicated, but it's linguistics. You could figure these rules out. He says, so we did that. We went into four clubhouses with full rosters and got each player's ball player name and supplemented those with a few dozen examples from game stories. 200 names in all, directly from the sources, falling under a dozen or so different nicknaming categories, and the rules start to emerge. And you can estimate with a pretty high confidence what your ball player name would be. Okay? If your last name is two syllables, and the first syllable is stressed, as in about 90% of two-syllable names, then this first syllable is going to form the basis of your clubhouse name.
That would be you, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Burnsy, it would be an example of that. Brad Peacock is P. Aaron Bummer is Bum. Derek Fisher is Fish. Bruce Bochy is Boch. The stressed syllable is the nickname.
Makes sense.
But also, Alex Bregman is Breggy, and Brett Gardner is Gardy. First syllable plus a Y, but
yeah,
also
there's the S-Y.
Ryan Healy is Heels.
Yep.
Charles Nagy's Nags, first syllable plus an S. But then Andrew Heaney is Heen Dog. Casey Lawrence, Law Dog, first syllable that's plus like, dog.
That's like stem changers in the gerund. Yes. It's like I-E to E-I.
Yep. The bottom line is, if you have a two-syllable name with a first syllable stressed, that syllable's turned into your nickname. The final step requires a bit of an ear. If the syllable's a full, pretty cool word on its own, you can count out standing alone. Gat, Park, Fletch, Red, Fish, Cap. But if your name starts with a Z...
Yeah, see, I was just going to say, we've got our nicknaming conventions for three of us on the show so far. You would be Burnsy. I guess I'd be Mac. Camp would be Campy, obviously. You add the Y, it wouldn't be Campsy. That would be strange.
That would
campy,
be weird.
Right? But we don't have anything for Jay Zawoski yet.
I took a look at it today, and I wanted to plug in Campy.
If your name
be just Campy. Starts, but he's got three syllables and a Z.
If it starts with Z, X, or Q, you are Z, X, or Q.
We don't have Ray.
Yeah.
That would be difficult.
Ray.
Ray.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to get to the Ray convention. Then.
By the way, I've always been Jaybird. Every coach is always, and Mitch calls me Jaybird.
Yeah, see, that, because of his first name, are there opt-outs in some of the naming conventions?
And the fact that Jay never wears clothes is kind of nice.
You can't be Jay-Z either, even though that would be easy because it's
taken.
I mean,
it could be.
I'm the original.
All right, if your last name is Gonzalez, you're Gonzo.
Okay.
That's rule seven. If your last name starts with W-I-L or even W-E-L, you're probably Willie. Rule nine. There is no rule that your ball player name shall be shorter than your real name. Of the 200, 96 had fewer syllables, 42 had more syllables, and 62 had same syllables. Rule 10. If your last name is one syllable and isn't Smith, add a Y. How does that sound? Pretty good? Pretty bad? Doesn't matter.
One more time. Give me that one more time. If it's one syllable and isn't Smith.
Add a Y.
Add a Y. Can't be. Okay. Done.
Right?
Yeah.
Brandon Moss is Mossy. Aaron Boone is Booney. Everybody named Jones is Jonesy.
But Diaz-y. Diaz. Well, that's two syllables.
Correct.
I forgot.
If it sounds really terrible and awkward to say, they'll play around with ER instead of a Y. Give you a ball player name that's a noun instead of an adjective.
Camper. No.
Tyler Skaggs is Skaggser. Jan Gomes is Gomer. Oddly, Mike Trout's dad wasn't Trouty when he played. He was Trouter.
Oh, well, that was the great vowel switch. You know, like in 1066 when we flipped things around, the Normans invaded. It was like we went from ER to Y. That was about 88.
Beyonce.
If your first name is commonly shortened or turned into a diminutive and you do already go by it, that's fine because they're probably going to call you something else anyway per rule three. Do you have a first name that is not a common diminutive for English speakers? Then they very well might call you that diminutive. Dallas becomes Dally. Noe, Yanni, Gino, Salvi, Avi. Diminutives associated with women's names also have life. Nellie, Molly, Holly, Sally, Birdie.
Okay.
Do you have a last name that can be turned into a common first name diminutive? That's great. Nick Vincent can be Vinny. But a hypothetical pitcher named Vince Nicholson wouldn't be Vinny. Justin Anderson can be Andy, but Andrew Benintendi can't be. Instead, Benintendi's Benny, which Ben Gamble can't be because of Rule 5A. Gamble has to be Gam.
Well, that's just good writing.
Robbie Cano sneaks in under this rule since Robinson is a traditional last name. Okay. Are you with me?
No, because we still haven't solved the Ray Diaz conundrum.
Well, we're going to try to figure this out.
Okay.
And members of Ray Diaz conundrum. Rule 14. Initials are an option, but only a limited number of base letters. A, B, C, D, E, G, J, K, O, P, V, Y. If both of your names start with these letters and you don't have a very strong first stressed first syllable surname, your teammates will likely call you by your initials. A, P, J, V, C, Y, C, C. In some cases, enhanced initials. Debo for Daryl Boston. Lucas Giolito's initials, LG, are unacceptable on account of the L. So his clubhouse name is Gio, which is basically G-O, which are both acceptable initials, and also a last name shortened to a first name, back to Rule 13.
Sam Miller is a crazy
R-S-T-U-V, V-Z-T-U-V-X-Y-X-Z.
Of course, I'm in the talkback going, is that Bob Huggins?
No, it's a different drunk coach.
No, it's LaRussa. Okay. If you're already known by your initials, J.D. Davis, or by a single like D. Gordon, you get to keep it.
Oh, okay. That's easy enough.
It's sort of like the Affordable Care Act. Rule 15.
It's your nickname goes to a death panel.
Which is a great nickname. If somebody were,
death panel.
Were nicknamed Death Panel, that's pretty good.
Your dad's a doctor and you mash.
He's the executioner. He supersedes everything.
But we still need a clubhouse nickname, though he may be the executioner.
Right, if you have one strong initial name and one weak initial name, you can still get the initial plus the name. Or an initial plus first syllable. Example, Garrett Richards, G. Rich. Nikki Delmonico is Nikki D. D. Span for Denard Span. J. Up for Justin
That's
Upton.
That's awful and unfortunate. So are we thinking it'd be Ray D?
It could.
That's the convention we are closest to with Ray Diaz right now.
Because RD doesn't work. Rule 16. If your first name is Jose, you're Hosey.
Damn.
Or sometimes Josie, see Rule 12.
I was hoping for some clarification here.
Rule 17, Miguel's are Miggy. As in the case of Miguel Gonzalez, Rule 7 supersedes this rule. Rule 18, if your name is Paul, you're Paulie. An exception to Rule 11 that exists for reasons I can't quite figure out. It's because ball players like names that sound like they're from previous eras. See, for example, all the Willies. This is a fairly hesitant hypothesis, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's flimsy.
Okay. Three-syllable last names make the system start smoking, particularly if the first syllable isn't stressed. These are resolved by previous rules. G for Giambi and Guillermo Heredia. Mac for McCarthy. Leroy for Leury Garcia and so on. When they don't, it opens up a new range of options, all of them harder to universalize. The first syllable of your first name can be repeated. Fifi for Felix Hernandez. Yo-Yo for Yoan Moncada.
Yep.
That gets back to Ray-Ray.
I think we might be Ray-Ray here.
Some middle syllable of your name can be chosen instead of the first syllable. Tuve for Altuve, Kutch for McCutcheon, the rare exception
That's
to Rule 1
favorites.
Being Mac. They call him Kutch?
It's one of my all-time favorites. Kutch, as his nickname is so good.
Last syllable.
As opposed to Kutch.
Kutch. Anybody can be nicknamed Ditka. That is Rule Infinity. The last syllable or syllables of your first name can be your ball player name. Los for Carlos Rodon. Rasmo for Erasmo Ramirez. The first two syllables of your last name could be your ballplayer name. For Longoria, Longo. For Middleton, Middle. For Soria, Sorry. Or you can get a nickname that is entirely or mostly removed from your name's phonetics. Jose Abreu is Pito. Terry Francona is Tito. Carlos Carrasco is Cookie.
Is he really? It's Cookie?
Cookie.
I didn't know that.
It's like Cookie Rojas. What was his actual first name?
I don't know.
Former Cubs coach, Cookie Rojas. Rule 20, you will almost certainly not be called something cool, like the Splendid Splinter, or Jolton Joe, or whatever. Maybe a more colorful, non-name-based nickname will take hold in the world that it becomes your clubhouse name. But even in those rare instances, it'll be shortened to a sound. Boom for Boomstick, King for King Felix, Juego for Big Game James Shields.
Cookie Rojas was Octavio Victor Rojas.
Octavio
PhD. They called him Cookie.
They called him Cookie. So there you have it. I guess we have not solved the Ray Diaz conundrum by these rules.
If he's cool with it, we just call him Executioner, right? He has transcended nickname convention in a baseball clubhouse.
And the only reason he got the nickname Executioner was because Joaquin Soria was the Executioner.
That's not the only reason.
Yeah, because Joaquin Soria didn't want to be the Executioner anymore.
No,
also because you don't want to cross Ray Diaz.
Yeah, skill set, general fear invoked by coworkers. I mean, don't screw with Ray Diaz.
The bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want complete flexibility with your ticket plan? The Chicago Wolves Flex Pack provides 10 undated vouchers at a discount. Visit chicagowolves.com for information.
So a couple of things here we've got to get to. We haven't mentioned at all John Lester's performance in last night's ballgame. We haven't gotten to the Cubs yet, even though they found out they're allowed to score more than one run at a time. We haven't gotten there yet.
And I also learned from the Chicago Tribune's headline writer here in the cut line, Murphy's calming effect helps Cubs snap a 3-game skid. I didn't know that they were lacking calm.
So we got those things left on the checklist, but Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports is going to join us when we come back. We'll talk a little bit about Ohio State's press conference yesterday when we return. He's Dan. I'm Connor. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
I'm Dale. You have to call me Dragon.
You have to call me Nighthawk.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson on a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only Major League player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who is second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money saving coupon.
In Chicagoland, there's only one place to go for one of the largest selections of new Volvo models, Howard Orloff Volvo Cars. For over 55 years, Howard Orloff Volvo has been proudly serving Chicagoland with unprecedented customer service and care. At Howard Orloff Volvo, during our end of summer sales event, you can get special pricing, finance, and lease offers on all 2018 models. And right now, we have a special selection of new 2017 Volvo S90s priced at only $43,998. That's a savings off MSRP of $12,856 to $15,416, with three in stock to choose from. Plus, come in and experience the award-winning, exciting all-new 2018 Volvo XC60. Isn't it time you discovered the outstanding selection and offers at Howard Orloff Volvo Cars? Visit Howard Orloff Volvo, just off the Kennedy at Armitage, or online at howardorloffvolvocars.com.
Stock number VO2934, MSRP 56844, VO2835, MSRP 59404, VO2945, MSRP 58539, plus tax, title, license, and doc fee. Offer expires 8/31/18.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
If your AC is blowing hot air, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help bring back the cool this summer. While you may need to eventually service your AC unit, get immediate relief with InterDynamics Arctic Freeze R134A refrigerant with leak sealer for $32.99. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
The award-winning Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy is now offering their all-new mobile app. Just go to the App Store or Google Play and search Bolingbrook Golf Club. You'll have access to a mobile scorecard, GPS, or book tee times. Stop by during the month of August and get great savings on all merchandise. Junior camps are still in play for one more week. And enter today for the Bolingbrook Open, August 25th and 26th. For more information and tee times, visit bolingbrookgolfclub.com or visit teeoff.com. The Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy. Come be impressed. Join Sycamore Speedway this Friday for the Figure 8 one-on-one drag spectator demo and power wheel demo for the kids. Saturday, it's all classes plus the Summer Sizzler dirt late models. For more info, visit sycamorespeedway.com.
Summer off to a tough start, Jack?
Oh, hey, Tubi. Must be time for a new mower.
Well, hey, I'm just a talking inner tube. But I know you'd be having a little more fun racing down water slides and roller coasters or enjoying live shows in the water park capital of the world.
Yeah.
We could use a family vacation.
Come on, Jack. Just say the magic words.
Wisconsin Dell!
It's not hard to have fun when you know the magic words. Go to wisdells.com and plan your trip today.
Breaking Benjamin. And Five Finger Death Punch. Together, live, with special guests, Nothing More, and Bad Wolves, this Wednesday night, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale now, online at LiveNation.com, the venue box office, or charge by phone. Breaking Benjamin's new album, Ember, and Five Finger Death Punch's new album, Injustice for None, coming soon. Presented by Chicago Open Air.
It's the two megastars summer mashup, the awesome iPhone, on the Rockstar Metro PCS Network. Get the iPhone you've always wanted for $0, so you can jam without limits.
It's a hit. Get an iPhone SE on us when you switch. Metro PCS.
Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax and $10 activation fee. Requires port-in of number not currently active on T-Mobile Network or on Metro PCS in past 90 days to an unlimited LTE plan. See store for details and terms and conditions.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family is so bummed the countdown to the end of summer is here.
Don't be. It's the start of huge savings at Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, kick off your fall fashion with Old Navy's major savings. Right now, get 50% off all tees, 40% off all dresses, and 30% off all jeans and sweatshirts.
50, 40, and 30% off? That's a countdown I love.
Then get to Old Navy. Tees start at just $6 for adults, $4 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
What are we waiting for? Old Navy, here we come.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 823 to 825. Excludes in-store clearance. Active licensed and men's package tees.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson on a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only major league player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who is second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'm fully aware that I'm ultimately responsible for the situation that has harmed the university as a whole and our department of athletics and our football program. I want to apologize to Buckeye Nation. I followed my heart, not my head. I fell short in pursuing full information because at each juncture, I gave Zach Smith the benefit of the doubt.
Boy, that's some real sincerity there. That is really coming from a genuine and true place. That isn't just somebody reading off a piece of paper. Can't you feel it?
Can't you just feel it
at the core of your being, how much he means it?
Carried away by that press conference.
Wow. Dan Wetzel writes for Yahoo Sports. He is their columnist. He is on Twitter, at Dan Wetzel. He joins the Bernstein and McKnight show. And I hate when I'm right about these things, but I had a feeling as this was all going down that there really aren't any consequences for someone who has decided he is too big to fail. Yet, even for them, the way that was presented yesterday, Dan, I don't know, I hope you saw it similarly. That was about as impersonal and self-preserving and callous as we could have imagined, wasn't it?
Poorly done press conference, to say the least. Poorly done statements and question and answer by Urban Meyer. Obviously, look, he clearly thought he should have walked into that meeting at 10 a.m. in the morning, spoke for 5 minutes, got handed his whistle and pass card back into the Woody Hayes Center and gone and coached football. He did not believe in this punishment. And I think the deliberations on this went over 10 hours. And I think it's because there were some people on this board of trustees that just weren't comfortable with Urban didn't do anything, or, you know, we're pushing for a more dramatic thing, but they end up kind of coming up with a 3-game suspension, which isn't nothing, but certainly I don't think pleases anybody. You know, it's almost like you pick the middle and nobody's happy with it.
Dan and I were kind of been wondering whether there are consequences for this and whether or not this will just kind of go away like so many other issues around Urban Meyer's collegiate coaching career. And I guess I keep coming back to the idea, Dan, that really there are only two entities that could impose consequences here, and neither of them are likely to do so. And if I've missed one, let me know. It's the NCAA saying that, no, this investigation was not appropriately done. That's not enough. They won't do anything, though. Or it's a government agency that says these Title IX implications weren't investigated fully enough and you have to do more there. And I don't see anything happening there either.
Yeah, I'm not really sure it's the jurisdiction of either of those deals, I think. And so I think you're right. You're not going to see, you're just not going to see anything on that. And no, there's not really going to be a consequence. I mean, you got to, here's the biggest, the worst part of last night's press conference, and it didn't happen at the press conference. It's that Ohio State declined to release its investigative report until after the press conference. Now, the schools told reporters there the report is long and it's too much to try to digest, and we got to do this. It's been a long day. We got to do this press conference. The report is 23 pages, and we're not talking single space. You can read this thing in about 5 to 8 minutes. The pertinent parts are only a few. What Ohio State was doing last night was making sure Urban Meyer, Gene Smith, and President Drake did not have to answer to the more disturbing things that were discovered and troubling and more pertinent questions that were discovered in the report.
Such as?
Give you an example.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer, in 2015, Gene Smith learns about Zach Smith having an allegation of abuse against his wife. He talks to Urban Meyer about it. They meet multiple times, it says, repeatedly over months. And they decide, let's let the police handle this. If there are charges, then we'll go forward. And you can say that's the wrong idea, the right idea. Per university policy, they're supposed to go to compliance. They didn't. I don't think that's the worst problem here. The problem was Urban Meyer never told Gene Smith that Zach Smith had also been arrested in 2009 on the exact same charge. Mm. Now, you get charged, you get accused of something once, it's bad. I'm not thinking, you know, one time is too many, all of that. You take it very seriously. But when you hear someone has been accused of the same crime multiple times, it changes the way you approach the situation. Gene Smith did not have the full information to make that call because Urban Meyer either wasn't forthcoming or straight up covered it up, depending on how you see it. That was in the report. That's the most important question that could come out of this. Nobody got to ask it because nobody knew that information. I'll give you another one. This one's maybe even more stomach-churning. Urban Meyer tells investigators in the last 2 weeks that in 2009, when there was that first report, Zach Smith and Courtney Smith came to his office, and Courtney Smith said, the allegations are fake. I made them up. Now, this would be an absolute bombshell and a quite incredible admission by Courtney Smith and would change all dynamics of this situation. The problem, Courtney Smith says she never met with Urban Meyer at the University of Florida. And more importantly, Zach Smith, who at this point agrees nothing with his ex-wife on any situation, says, no, only I was in the meeting. Courtney Smith was never there. So Urban Meyer flat out made up a story about Courtney Smith recanting the allegations when she never even spoke to him. That's an incredible thing. And it's just laid out very subtly you have to really read the report carefully. Again, this comes out after the press conference. That would have been my first question. How the heck could you tell that story? And who else did you tell that story to that made people at Ohio State doubt Courtney Smith when the whole thing's a fake? Those are the parts that are most troubling, not even his demeanor. It's that Ohio State is still trying to hide this stuff by protecting Urban Meyer from actual questioning. And you know from here on out it's going to be football questions only. That's already been addressed. I'm not talking about that situation. So we'll never know.
What's downright laughable is stuff about how medication makes him forget things conveniently. God. Is if you look along the timeline of all the text messages and all the police reports and everything that they knew, say, well, sometimes I just have this medicine that makes me forget. But it doesn't happen on the recruiting trail. It doesn't happen when he's putting game plans together. It certainly doesn't happen on game day. It's amazing whatever this magic medicine is that has the ability to make him forget things at all these critical times, isn't it?
Yeah, there's repeated moments in the report where they just basically are like, that story just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't jive with reality. And yeah, we're going to not only are we going to explain and try to parse words and say, well, he wasn't he clearly wasn't truthful, but it wasn't a deliberate lie. Like, well, what is that? The guy lies clearly all the time. And it's clear that the people around him at Ohio State are out to protect him. Again, the first, when this story first broke in August 1st, the director of football operations went and told Urban Meyer about the story. Urban Meyer was out on a practice field. And as the report says, they immediately turned their attention to how can we delete text messages on Urban Meyer's phone? How can we wipe this clean so that there are no text messages more than 1 year old? Now, if that's your first thought is how do we get rid of evidence? Okay, you know, if you're going to be exonerated, no, that's their first thought. How do we clear the text messages? And sure enough, when the investigators get Urban Meyer's phone, there's no text messages. So we don't know. But that's clearly that's what a staffer is supposed to do, right? Protect the guy at Pop. That's kind of the thing. That's what they did. You know, there was a freedom of open records request from the student newspaper. We'd like to see all of Urban Meyer's emails during his periods. The general counsel of the school says, retrieve the emails, the athletic department. This is the law. We have to comply with the law. No one at the athletic department even bothers to ask Urban Meyer about it. Nobody goes and gets the emails. Nothing. They just don't comply. They don't want to know what's in these emails. Who knows what's in the emails? So it's clear that, you know, this guy is a brilliant football coach. I mean, he's a great football coach, and he will win games. And on game day, maybe nobody else in the country you want more. And he will fill your stadium and make your money. And I'm not saying he should have been fired. But the portrait that comes out of this thing is this guy is just a loose cannon with the truth that the whole school knows it. And they're all sitting there going, gosh, if we can just keep this guy on track, we'll keep winning. But someone's got to babysit him and someone's got to help him hide some of these things.
Dan, great stuff. As always, you do some of your best work in some of these more difficult and ugly situations. Chances are if we're having you on, something bad has happened somewhere. But we always appreciate you coming on with us.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
That is Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, brought to you by Subway. Check out 3 signature wrap flavors to savor at Subway restaurants. Try the classic style of a turkey Italiano melt. Get yourself some bold taste with the Chipotle Southwest steak and cheese, or enjoy the tangy flavor of the buffalo chicken wrap. Subway, make it what you want. Limited time only at participating locations.
It's clear that Ohio State has no problem looking at that man, Urban Meyer, and letting him lead the way he likes to lead, despite the fact that his behaviors are more aligned to the things Dan Wetzel was talking about here than the behaviors he kind of outlines for you. And regardless of any of that, whether that you care about that in a football coach or not, remember, there's a woman here who was assaulted and harassed, and her name wasn't brought up last night.
Nor did she receive any kind of apology from anybody that the Buckeye Nation received.
They would have to bring up her name in order to apologize to her, yes.
Correct. So next up, we have the Midday Midway, and I have a movie that has just come out. I was hoping it was going to be good. Alas, not only is it not, it might be on the list of historically bad, and some of what is being said and written about this movie, I saw the trailer for it, and it looked like it could be really clever and interesting and funny, and apparently absolutely DOA, so bad as to maybe end up being fun bad.
Ooh.
Also, something that happened in New Hampshire that is pretty awesome. It has to do with a tweet and a government official seeing the tweet and responding and agreeing with the person who tweeted it.
I got two stories with Japanese origin, one baseball related, one
a Japanese orgy?
Japanese origin.
Oh.
Although maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, that's
is it communist Japan?
Yes, communist Japan. Okay. Strictly from communist Japan. No country fought communists harder than... Anyway, we'll move on. And also, one of the biggest names at AAA has been called up.
Oh!
And it's news. We'll get to it in the Midday Midway. That's next. Bernstein and McKnight. 670 The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Albert Almora. Looks like you got a new teammate, Daniel Murphy.
If they're making moves like that, it's for a reason.
You've got a lot of faith, right, in that clubhouse in the front office?
Oh, absolutely. At the end of the day, we're trying to win a World Series, and those guys are pretty good at what they do, to assemble good guys together.
Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports.
look at your credit card statement and look at the interest rate. If you haven't, you probably should, because the average APR is at 18% on that big chunk of credit card debt, and that means you're throwing away money. Why? Because you can roll all your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a much lower fixed interest rate. I'm talking about LightStream and their credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. It's a hell of a lot less than the 18% that the credit card interest rate averages. So that means you can get a loan of $5,000 to $100,000, and it's fast. That's why they call it LightStream, because it's light and it's easy, and you could do it today, and you could get your funds the same day you apply. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. So that's what you do. If you want to save a ton of money in a very short period of time, go to lightstream.com/Dan B. That will also get you a special discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. Even more reason to do this. The only way to get this discount is you go to lightstream.com/Dan B. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Dan B.